Good evening. Welcome to the Salir Report. Today is Thursday, September 10th, 2020. This is Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this week. My travel schedule is I'm in the Netherlands until October 15th, with a trip to Italy for Pista Sofia if the workshop is on October 9th to 11th. There are continued rumors of preparations by the state and local government, both in the United States and Europe, of another 3 to 6 month lockdown starting at the end of September or in October. Just because somebody is asked to prepare for it doesn't mean it's going to happen. But given the rollout of 5G and other things going on with the great global reset, it wouldn't surprise me if this was attempted. My number one goal for the Salir Report right now is to get caught up on all the wrap-ups, and I'm co-located with Robert Duper, who makes the magazine, and we're next to our printer. So I want to stay close by, and I'm certainly not eager to travel by plane if the silly business continues, which it looks like it's going to. If I'm still in Europe, then I'm planning on going to Switzerland for Christmas with Thomas Meyer and his clan. We'll go on up to the Alps. On the website, I'm very excited. State of Our Currency is headed to the printer tomorrow. The PDF for the magazine will be up next week, and then we'll be mailing the individual hard copies here from Europe just to get them to the premium subscribers faster, and then the second quarter wrap-up will follow shortly thereafter. So we'll get two to you, and then, as I said, my goal is to get the rest done and out. Our 9/11 anniversary prayer that we put up every year is up. And remember, because we didn't bring transparency and accountability to that event, the result was then the people who did 9/11 stole another $17 trillion from the U.S. government, $24 trillion in bailouts, and now a global pandemic. It's what George Patton once said. He said, if you let the skunks get under the house, they'll take over. There's a book review up, The Contagion Myth, by Dr. Cowan and Sally Fallon, who is the interview this evening. A great interview. We'll talk about it later on in Money and Markets. Then Rappaport's Magic Virus presentation he pre-recorded for the workshop in Basel. That's up. A great piece on called Forced Separation. It's on contract tracing and a very sobering topic, but important for you to understand. Najat Madri has a new piece on the Great Mask Debate, and then a subscriber wrote a great posting at Subscriber Input about pushing the red button, and we republished it as a commentary for subscribers. You'll only see it if you're logged in. And then The Injection Fraud was translated into French by Vanessa, and we have one coming in German as well. The Take Action crowdfund continues. Thank you so much for all your donations. We've been sending lots of people and money to Children's Health Defense, to Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, and then to numerous reporters. It's so important for popular opinion and independent media to support all this kind of litigation. So it's really two sides of the same coin, the litigators and the publicity and journalists who really make it go. Events, we continue to do training, so thanks for all you people who are agreeing to help gather small groups. I want to encourage people gathering in person, leave the phones behind, stay offline. It's very important that we get in-person communication happening outside of the surveillance systems. Lake Geneva, Wisconsin is sold out with Skidmore and Titus. That's September 26th, and I'll come in and say a few words by monitor. Our theme this week is engineering civil war to walk away from federal financial obligations. I talked about this with Dr. Farrell in the last News Trends and Stories, and I'll talk about it again with him when we record at the end of September. Those will publish on October 1st and October 8th. He mentioned this the other day on the vid chat, and I'm very glad to see him sort of pushing this point home. The financial coup d'etat has now converted to the flu d'etat. And essentially what a financial coup does is it pulls assets out of an old system, moving it into the new system, and then it pushes the liabilities back in the old system, and then you take the old system down. So you've moved significant assets out of the U.S. government, and now question is, how are you going to deal with the liabilities? And one way to do that is if you can start a civil war and have different areas of the country secede or pull apart. By doing it that way, you can basically blame the disintegration of the federal financial mechanism on the people, and that can help you abrogate the different obligations. So if you look at Antifa and BLM, as I described last week, these are highly managed organizations with serious money and top-down command structures. It's all part of the U.S. intelligence establishment and enforcement engineering a civil war. The Department of Justice and the U.S. intelligence agencies could shut this down. You know, I said last week in 30 days, they could shut it down in 3 days. So don't believe or fall for it. You know, if Trump says, I'm on your side, you know, that's total BS. Where do you think this is coming from? It wouldn't surprise me if FASB 56 was financing all of this. So just ignore the people who fall for it. Don't fall for it. You're not interested in having your financial obligations from the federal government abrogated. So just don't suck into the game. Again, this is highly controlled. And if you look at the, you know, $1 trillion a year of taxpayer money funding the military-industrial establishment, I assure you they can, you know, they can stop this anytime you want. You stay focused on your network, your neighbors, and the practicalities of income, food, shelter, energy. Obviously, the mind control is very heavy. 5G is going to make it much heavier. You know, you're going to be talking about creating hologram capacity and the real ability to falsify reality. So you want to stay ruthless about protecting your mind and physical health. We're watching signs of serious breakdown. Somebody just sent me a press conference that Cuomo was doing, and it looks to me like he's mentally and physically breaking, literally breaking down. When you look at Biden, he's breaking down. It's really a sign that the field is breaking down. And if you look at the karma of what these folks are dealing with, and they have reason to be scared if the truth comes out about what they've really been up to and what their real criminal and civil liabilities are, they're in real trouble. So they have to play ball with the command structure, but the stress, of course, is enormous, and the karma of what they've been doing and the people they've been killing is significant. And trying to keep the lies going as things get more and more chaotic is going to be extremely difficult to do. For your planning purposes, scenario design, you need to assume in the worst case that all federal income payments to individuals end or are cut or turned over to the states. There are many, many scenarios and possibilities. Anybody who tells you they know what's going to happen, they're just not, they don't know. But Social Security disability, food stamps, federal government and military retirement and pensions, housing subsidy, welfare, et cetera, et cetera. Which all of this is a significant amount of money within every county in the United States. So now I'm U.S. specific, obviously. But remember, part of their goal is to save money. Part is to depopulate. But one of the big goals is to round everybody up and change the terms and conditions on this money so they can force a toxin if they have everyone financially dependent and really in a corner financially. Then, you know, then you can get everybody on a toxin. And that's why, you know, tomorrow, if there's any way you can start a community currency where you are, community currency solves a lot of problems. Liquefying and, you know, doing local equity investment, getting things going locally could make a huge difference. If you can build a liquid financial market locally, whether it's currency, equity, debt, everything. States in many ways would be much better off financially if they could start from scratch on a basis where they have sovereignty. The problem is in this environment, unless you have a nuclear arsenal and a military, you're not going to have sovereignty. So on the U.S. election, the most important issue to watch is whether the Republicans hold the Senate. And my prediction is yes, but it could be close. The reason why you care is the Second Amendment. If you look at what's happening in Victorian Australia, which is arguably the most draconian lockdown anywhere in the world, it's because they were successful in implementing gun control. They can't yet do what they're doing in Victoria in the United States. And it's because the population is well armed, and that will remain that case as long as the Republicans hold the Senate, or certainly for longer. When the lockdown in March started, we were coming into spring and people still had more resources within families, or more savings, more juice. There was more juice in the system, both between spring, a big stimulus package, and sort of family loyalties, family saving. Here's the reality. We've eaten up a lot of those reserves, and winter is coming. We're not coming into spring. We're coming into winter. So prepare. Prepare to ensure you have fresh, healthy food. Prepare to make sure you have ways of staying happy and strong. Don't let yourself get broken down. So you need rest. You need joy. Focus on the practical: food, energy, shelter, community, and you're going to have to homeschool. I'm talking with a lot of subscribers and former clients and clients about starting new schools or finding schools that just got started to deal with a situation. But helping people support the new schools or getting schools going is a great thing to do, as is supporting local food banks and farmers. So many great ways to get things going, including getting together with the local banks and professionals and starting community currencies. Okay, money and markets. All returns are total return for 2020 year to date. I'm using the Wednesday close. U.S. dollar, a tad weaker. It's down 2.93% for the year. It's at trading about 93 and a quarter. Rabobank reports the Chinese are working on large stockpiling of commodities inventories. What that means is they're trying to convert their remaining U.S. dollars, which are still sizable, to real assets. And I think that's probably concerns about both sanctions and the continuing debasement of the dollar. And it's the smart thing for the Chinese to do. It's also the smart thing for you to do. The ECB this week announced that it's steady as it goes on its bond program and interest rates. That was no surprise. The fixed income market, the long Treasury ETF, now up 21.81% for the year, so down from where it was. The intermediate up 11.3%. Those are astonishing performances for Treasuries, and it just goes to show you how low interest rates are. The corporate bond aggregate up 6.84% and junk almost flat, down 32 basis points for the year. Well, a lot of air came out of the tech bubble over the last week, so the S&P is now up 6.69%, and the tech bubble has really pulled the U.S. market up, and now it's dropping. The home builders up 15.68% for the year. Europe ETF down 5.81%, so still lagging in the U.S. markets. Developed markets minus North America down 5.19%. Germany up 4.55%. China almost flat for the year, down 64 basis points. Emerging markets down 87 basis points. And then gold strong, up 28.1% for the year. Silver even stronger, up 50.96%. So far, silver's the star and oil still in the basement. It's very interesting as we turn to stories to think about the best news sources. The best news sources over the last week were the subscriber input at Solari, and then the member input at Giza Death Star, and also at Saker, as well as all the emails I get. I've been sort of networking with researchers and subscribers all over the world, and those that for some reason that the complexity and the length and the information that we are communicating directly with each other is exploding relative to sort of media outlets. And it's amazing how much more fruitful I find reading the network intelligence as opposed to a lot of the media. I hope this trend continues because it's amazing how many really insightful, intelligent, motivated people there are in all these different networks. And I get a much richer form of intelligence by reading their stuff as trying to go through a lot of the media sources. So I really hope this continues. We have a plague of fires and weird weather. Probably the worst. California, in a relatively short time, has lost 2.5 million acres, now spreading to Oregon and Washington. And some, it had one town in the state of Washington that lost 80%, tiny town, but lost 80% of the structures. They're still trying to determine how many people were killed. So this is becoming very dangerous and very ugly. So far, there have been 24 large wildfires in California during this period, 14 in Oregon, and another 12 in Washington as of Wednesday. So please keep everybody in your prayers. Unfortunately, it's getting combined with climate change raving. And there is a Blue Ribbon Commission. Reuters just published a story explaining the impact this could have on the financial markets and blaming the financial problems on fires. You don't even want to get me started. I'm going to talk a lot more with Farrell on News Trends and Stories about the disaster capitalism of weather warfare. As I said, rumors continue about municipalities being called upon to prepare for 3 to 6 month lockdowns. What's interesting is, as we talked about last week, the CDC has revised its death statistics down to less than 10,000 in the United States from COVID-19. In the meantime, while these extensions continue, they're working away on deep infrastructure, whether it's the 5G equipment, putting to place the contact tracing protocols, reorganizing the schools and how schooling is done. And as we can see, there's significant urban flight in the United States and a move, continued growth in homeschooling. What you're also seeing is what I call the Midianite thing happening with the pharmaceutical companies. We have real toxin wars, and it's companies competing with each other, but also afraid of all the pressure in politics, particularly as it relates to the election. You had one sort of effort or a series of efforts to sort of download all the faults and shenanigans of Moderna. And it wouldn't surprise me if you look behind that, it's the big pharma guys arranging to take off, take out the smaller competitor. And Moderna has plenty of dirty laundry, is what it appears like. So easy to do. Five big pharma companies put out a press release saying they were going to put out a press release, which is unheard of, about the safety of their toxins, and I think part of that relates to election politics. One of the most stunning videos of the last year was the Swiss conference of all the vaccine programs, and I had put up a series of excerpts that Dell Bigtree had done of the conference, and sure enough, it got taken down. I'm trying to get another copy to get it back up on the Plandemic second wrap-up. There's a report that I put in the notes from Vanessa in France and talking about what's been happening there with COVID-19 and the fight back and forth. She says lawyers have taken the mask regulation to courts, regional administrative courts, and have partially won on the basis that the rule is disproportionate with the risks, that is, wearing masks in open air with no crowds around. The government has called on the Conseil d'État for a meeting today, Sunday, as an emergency meeting. This council is the High Court for Administrative Law. We will see, but I will be surprised if they side with the people. There's too much at stake. But if the government is in a rush, it's a sign of fear. So there are more yellow jacket demonstrations coming up, she says. That'll be interesting to see. I see a real estate crisis coming in. Sellers are crazy, asking too high prices, even modifying their price after an offer is made, and buyers modifying their price after they have made an offer. Smells like anxiety and fear. Xi in China has launched a campaign for people to eat less. Now it's Boris Johnson. I see a trend. Take care. I've been emailing with teachers, parents, professors from K through 12. You have parents and teachers trying to figure out how to reconfigure what they do to get out of the government system. There are a lot of parents who are just not going to send their kids back into this, let alone have them sit for 5-6 hours a day online, going to school online. It's ridiculous. It's interesting. I talked to Joseph tonight. He said, well, you know, they really used the pandemic to implement the Common Core curriculum and, you know, sort of online education, getting rid of the teachers. The bottom line, though, is a lot of parents aren't going to go along with what's going on. And I think the school system, hopefully, is in real trouble. That applies also to U.S. colleges and university systems, because if you look at how far tuition has run up against relative to inflation, it's extraordinary. And now if you look at what the college experience is like, whether you're required to go to school online or when you're on campus, you have to do masks and social distancing, that on top of all the disinformation and the sort of the lower credibility of the system, I just think universities are in for some very significant financial trouble. So if you're working for a college or university, you may want to think about what your plan B is. Next steps on Brexit. Britain is contemplating legislation to deal with the northern border that the EU says defies their agreements, and they're threatening legal action. So Johnson playing a bit of a hardball on Brexit. A no-deal Brexit at this point, I don't see how it makes sense, but you wonder if it isn't a possibility. The DOD, Department of Defense in the U.S., has now affirmed the JEDI contract, so that's it. Microsoft is running the Department of Defense cloud. Assange has been in extradition hearings in the U.K., and those were just halted because of supposed COVID-19 exposure of an attorney. You have to wonder about that. And MasterCard has announced it's launching a central bank digital currency testing platform, enabling the central banks to assess and explore their national digital currencies. How about that? MasterCard's doing the sandbox for central banks. As I said, we're all in the global currency invention room. If you haven't read State of Our Currencies yet, once we get this magazine PDF up next week, I strongly, strongly recommend you read it. You can't possibly understand COVID-19 unless you understand what's happening with currencies in the global reset. Our hero this week is Sally Fallon Morrell, who is the president and founder of the Weston Price Foundation. If you haven't plugged into Weston Price, I hope you do. They're a wonderful organization based in the United States. They have chapters all around the world of people who are interested in growing local fresh food systems. And Sally has done an incredible job of helping to build particularly the raw milk networks in the United States. So just a great person. And she and Cowan was one of the founding supporters of starting Weston Price and is now a vice president in Weston Price as well as being on the board. And she and Tom have written a series of different books together, and this is their latest. And we'll talk about it in a second when we get to the interview. The blast from the past is Harry Blaser's fabulous interview with Dr. Don Huber, who we described as a real food patriot. And if you want to be scared to death about the nanoparticles in food, listen to Dr. Don Huber. It's an amazing conversation, and it will emphasize for you how dangerous processed foods are. It's interesting. There's rumors going around now. I have no idea if they're complete disinformation or there's any merit to them, that the second wave of COVID-19 will be delivered in, you know, sort of as chemical warfare and processed and frozen food. I have no idea if that's true. But if you look at what Dr. Huber said is about what's in some of our food, I wouldn't put anything past the powers that be. And let's go to the movies. I recommend a wonderful documentary to you called Dark Horse. It's been made into a movie that I would have loved to have also recommended, but it hasn't been released yet for general viewing. So And it's a true story. It's about a group of people in a mining town in Wales who got together and financed the breeding and raising and training of a horse who ultimately won the Welsh Derby. It's a real Cinderella story. It's a true one. And but the reason I wanted to recommend it to you is it's a great, you know, I could never figure out how come we let the big guys do private equity, but we don't get together and do private equity ourselves. And it's a great example of people coming together and pooling their money to do something it would be impossible for any one of them to do. But as a syndicate, you know, they literally do the impossible. And I think it's £10 a week they put up, or £10 a month. I can't remember. But, you know, for a remarkably small amount of money, they really, you know, they did some pretty life-changing things. But it's a great example of community private equity and how it can work. And they do a remarkable job of governing the whole situation. It's really, it's very inspiring. Anyway, Dark Horse. Our interview this evening is with Sally Fallon Morrell, who, as I just described, is the president of the Weston Price Foundation. And she has co-authored with Dr. Thomas Cohen, The Contagion Myth, Why Viruses, Including Coronavirus, Are Not the Cause of Disease. And the reason I recommend both the interview and the book to you is we've done many different reviews of different aspects of the global pandemic. I wrote a book review on virus mania. I wrote a book review on the invisible rainbow. Many different books and interviews discussing different phenomena. Sally and Tom do a great job of integrating everything into, not everything, but a lot of material into one book that gets into the myth of the germ theory. Dr. Cowan joined me in June for a discussion of the germ theory, but this book is really a great integration. And whenever you read a book by Sally or Tom, or co-authored, because they've done several together now, they just have this remarkable healing energy. They're both unbelievably experienced and knowledgeable at all the different aspects of what I call the great poisoning. And they do a very good job of describing how COVID-19 is cover story for, you know, many other phenomena. And it's not that an experienced Salary Report subscriber hasn't heard many aspects of this before, but it's integrated and brought together in one place in a beautifully written book. And, you know, this is the kind of book you do a bulk order and just start handing it out to your family and friends, trying to bring them down from the, you know, from the trance. So it's not a bad book to give to everybody for Christmas, if you, you know, particularly people you care about. And Cowan and Sally are just so credible, and their credentials are so very strong that I think this one is it really serves the purpose of giving something that's relatively short and well-written and digestible. So rather than asking people to read all these different books, here's sort of a one-stop shop that can do a lot. Okay, ask Catherine. Hi, Catherine. A few months ago, possibly several, you mentioned something having to do with a UFO contact experience, like storytelling it in fiction with truths being seated within it. I don't remember what you're talking about. I did an interview with Richard Dolan not that long ago, a couple months ago. So was it in that discussion? I also recently brought up my comment at the 2015 Secret Space Program panel. I told in detail the story of the Navy trying to persuade me that aliens exist and live among us. So if you just go to the Secret Space Program 2015 panel, you can find it there. It starts at about 1 hour and 40 minutes, sort of towards the end. And then you ask if you keep talking about some of the things. I just don't remember talking about that. I could have spoken about that with Dolan. So I need you to, if you could send me some, was it with an interview with somebody? Who was that somebody? Was it money and markets? I just don't remember anything like that. From your description of what you're interested in, it sounds to me like you might enjoy reading Charles Fort. If you don't know about Charles Fort, I would definitely check him out. And if you haven't read Richard Dolan's book, UFOs for a 21st Century Mind, and his National Security series, I would really recommend them to you. Hi, Catherine. You mentioned that you think the Midianites will kill each other off due to infighting. Can you list some specific people or groups that are at odds with each other so I can better understand how this could play out? Yes, so we just saw a huge sort of dish out of dirt on Moderna. And that happened after Moderna started, the execs started selling their stock. My guess is if you peel back behind the layers, you have competitors who wanted that to happen. They figured it was easy to take Moderna out. Then we saw one of the pharmaceutical companies announce that they were canceling or delaying their current trials because somebody had gotten sick. I didn't look at the details. And then, as I said earlier, you had five pharmaceuticals come out with a press release saying they were coming out with a press release later this week about, they weren't going to be rushed to do a toxin by the election, blah, 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 blah. That's people worried about covering their risks, both their brand risks and even legal liabilities. And you can tell that the Night of the Long Knives is out. The people they're most afraid of are various kinds of either business competitors or competitors within the regulatory space. You've watched Trump and Operation Warp Speed infuse tremendous amounts of money out into this group. And of course, now that that money has been committed, the big money's going to be in who wins in the final choices of the toxins and not just the initial ones, but the updates. And you're talking about, when you're talking about toxins for 7 billion people with regular updates, you're talking about very big money, particularly if you're including in that the equivalent of a operating system for the financial system. So the power involved in that position, particularly if some of it is done secretly, is enormous. So power and money, this is a big, this is an enormous competition. Last thing I read said 91 companies were working on on toxins. And obviously, it's going to be a smaller number that emerges the winners and the But the pot that they win is going to be enormous in their minds. Again, I hope they fail. That's my prayer for our situation. Hard to imagine people competing this aggressively for the right to destroy the human race. Next question. One of the reasons behind the decision to end slavery was the inability of the European armies to overturn the Haiti rebellion. That was something I said. Who do you think was behind this decision? You're saying that the 1860 Republican platform to prevent extension of slavery into the territories was intended to provoke the Civil War and thus lead to abolition. The North wanted the war for many different reasons, and covert agents were sent into the South to foment war. It was part of consolidating control and ownership of cotton and other commodities. So you had a real, at the time, a real political food fight. Part of getting control of the and ownership of the cotton and other commodities that were raised by the South was busting the value of the slave. So you had Northerners sell lots of slaves to Southerners, and then you had them destroy that value and destroy the capital. Of the Southerners, it was part of an economic takeover. And of course, then you could use the African Americans for divide and conquer post-abolition. But in the background, I think they wanted to one of the reasons they wanted to cancel slavery was the losses of the banks because of the inability to perfect collateral and the inability to put down the Haiti revolution. I would really see, I wrote a book review, it's in the library, of a book called The Half Has Never Been Told. But I would really, if you're interested in this topic, I would really recommend you read it. The book has come under some criticism, but I think a lot of the information and a lot of the basic premises that that the author comes up with are very, very good. And I think he's nailed a lot of the important aspects of the economics of slavery that are very, very helpful to understanding what's happening now with the desire to sort of install operating systems in humans and move to transhumanism. Dear Miss Fitz, I'm a new Sleary subscriber. I listen to you on Greg Hunter's podcast. I need your expertise to help guide my family through the disasters that are unfolding. COVID is not an accident of nature. It is a bioweapon deployed by evil people like the ones who killed the Kennedys and gave us 9/11. Cuomo and his allies have a big PR problem. He has already killed almost all of the vulnerable people in New York. It will be much harder to boost COVID deaths now that New York has obviously achieved herd immunity. COVID deaths are down to 5 to 10 per day since July. They were above zero per day in April. Something must have gone deleted. I think it was 100 per day. When the rest of the U.S. gets to where New York is now, we'll have 150 to 330 deaths per day instead of 1,000 deaths per day. COVID will kill the same population group that dies from influenza every year. It will be part of the viral landscape like herpes, cold viruses, hepatitis C, and other viruses. It will no longer be a novel virus. Deaths from pneumonia, influenza, and COVID went up this year, but deaths are back to baseline, according to CDC. We had a big spring death surge with a summer death bounce, but now we are back to normal. If we get another death increase, it will be a small one. The deep state will have to pull another virus off the shelf next year because we have herd immunity to this one. We will not need a vaccine. And this is from a doctor. I very much appreciate your insight on this. They want the toxin for the financial system. It has nothing to do with COVID-19. So if you haven't read State of Our Currency, really consider it. And also consider that this is chemical warfare. The pathogens can be sprayed, they can be added to food, or turned on by electromagnetic means. You might enjoy, if you're new, seeing the post by subscribers we just published called Pushing the Red Button. Again, you need to be logged in to see it. Hi, Catherine. Here's my let's go to the movie vote. You immediately came to mind as I'm watching this. I remember hearing a band blasting, "Oh, When the Saints Go Marching In," as you were on recording a session. That moment in the interview struck me so deeply and a sign of how God is with you. It was really funny. Titus and I were recording, and suddenly, out of the blue, in the middle of the Netherlands, a band comes marching down the street playing When the Saints Go Marching, and I couldn't stop laughing. It was amazing. Okay, so you sent links as a vote for movie, and I look forward to watching those. Thank you. Hi, Catherine. Greatly enjoyed the recent Slurry Reports with John Rappaport. Absolutely wonderful. And then they had a huge number of questions for Jason. And so I sent them to Jason and said, "Are you available for an interview?" I don't know if he is yet, but I forwarded them. Catherine, will the silver slurry coin ever be made available for purchase? I would like to buy some as gifts to young relatives of mine. Thank you. We don't plan on selling them. I'm a great believer that when you invest in silver, you should buy, you know, the lowest premium to melt value. And there's no way we can make these at anywhere near a market premium to melt value. So we make them, we use them as gifts and promotions. We will, if you want to buy some, we will arrange for subscribers to use our die at the mint, where we order ours, and I believe their minimum order is 50. So if you're interested in getting a minimum order of 50 and you want us to arrange that, we make no money on that. We're just authorizing the mint to use our die to make you 50 coins, or as many as you want. Somebody sent a link. Half of the San Francisco businesses are closed for good. Just wow. Yep, But if you look at what large tech and the California leadership has been doing for some time, it was only a matter of time until they sort of destroyed the healthy parts of the community. It's like a cancer that eats up healthy things. It's funny, when I shut down, I basically shut down and left anything we were doing in California as a business. And then we started, when people called to be clients on the investment advisory side, I would just say we won't take clients from California. I was so worried about the nature of what was happening in the government. So we have a lot of wonderful subscribers in California. So my prayers are with you, because I know it's rough. We had one wonderful subscriber post a story about how things were going to go wrong in Mayberry now, and the people in Mayberry were not ready for it. And I don't think this wonderful subscriber spent a lot of time out in Mayberry land in the United States, so I wrote the following. The narcotics trafficking began, I'm talking about the rural areas, heavily with the creation of the Fed and IRS in 1913. Looked to me like it was managed locally by enforcement in the Mason Lodges. The big wave of drug dealing and gang networking waved out into the rural areas in the U.S. during Iran-Contra. Next came MS-16, all backed up with NSA, CIA, DOJ, Google. There's been a tense balance of power between the drug gangs and the well-armed local citizens of Mayberry. This is just a new wave of CIA shenanigans. The play-ball balance is being reneged. When are we all going to get that? Every square inch of America has been under intense digital surveillance for decades. Covert operations and mind control are everywhere. There is no way. The moral of the story of the red button problem is that the war and organized crime is networked into every TV, every home, every pocketbook. Anyway, so I assure you, Mayberry is not oblivious. They're just trying to create a bubble to live in because they want to have a nice life. And then I posted next the wonderful subscriber description of they're pushing the red button. It's up on the Solaire Report as a commentary, but let me just read some of it quickly. Pushing the red button after years of laughter and ridicule, some are returning to ask, how did you know? How did we know? I ask, oh my God, I'm not a quiet or shy guy. I talk with everyone. As we learned and applied what we learned, we shared. The only response was laughter, ridicule, and all the rest. Not one person was paying attention. It is true. We felt very isolated from old family and friends for more than a decade. Now we are like some sort of visionary. Weird. We found the more stuff we learned, the less stuff we needed. Health was our first priority. We always did well on health and food issues, but began to do even better with food and food prep. The outcome after all these years has been good health. We never go to doctors. I have not been to a doctor for more than 25 years for any sort of sickness. My kids never get sick. My wife was diagnosed with breast cancer 5 years ago and refused their chemo, radiation, and hormone blocker. She's doing great. We have become our own doctors. Cancer revelations, got rid of the microfoam, wired the house for internet and turned off Wi-Fi, filter our water, eat much less and much cleaner food. Cable network TV gone. This was a challenge with family, but eventually we overcame. There is something about our network, cable TV, and all their commercials that draws one in the TV abyss. Once we broke the addiction, we watch very little TV at all. If we do watch, it's Netflix, YouTube, Amazon. We are too busy learning. All of us spend time learning and sharing now. A very cool thing when your 17-year-old shows up with something he learned from John Rappaport. Commercial credit gone. After our fight began with B of A in 2009, we dumped all credit and have never looked back. We bought a 3-acre parcel, privately financed, to make the transition from the old house with B of A loan to a newly built house. We took a small mortgage, that private mortgage, that is almost paid off. The house took 4.5 years to build with cash. It took finding a special builder who would work like this, downsized and real happy with more land on a dirt road with goats, chickens, and dogs. Homeschool. We didn't catch on early enough for our oldest. We pulled our youngest from government school 6 years ago. I withdrew my son in a fit of rage after transgender bathroom, Common Core, and very strange, disturbing surveys being given to the children on sex, drugs, guns, and politics. I pulled him out in anger and then panicked. What was I doing? I wasn't a teacher. Long to short, I figured it out. My kid is and has gotten a great education. He is a seeker and loves to learn. He takes Rappaport classes on critical thinking, Ellis Metavoy, and all the rest. He reads history books written by Charles Beard. He watches the X series at Dark Journalists. He listens to Salieri Reports and is currently taking an Ulrich Science. He cares for all the goats and chickens. He teaches us. We are fortunate to have the president of the Virginia and Pennsylvania Homeschool Association living just a few minutes away. The plantemic has brought my family even closer in a twisted sort of way. Everyone in my house has turned up his or her learning metabolism. I am no longer the only one digging and sharing and changing. It is the whole family digging and sharing links and new learning. I hear my kids teaching his friends about what he's learning from the book Virus Mania and then The Invisible Rainbow. Successfully pushing the red button has been the most difficult and rewarding thing I have ever done. We are over the hump now and always looking for ways to push the red button harder. Each step is a challenge. Our current challenge is ditching the smartphones. I did it just a few chapters into The Invisible Rainbow, my wife a week or so later. My youngest is doing great at turning it off after downloading content. He showed me ways to download videos, etc., so they can be watched offline. The only kid not doing so great is the kid who got the full 12 years of public school, my oldest, but he will come along eventually. It is the information that has changed us. It's simply a matter of taking it all in. Letting it rattle around in your head for a while to a hopefully rational conclusion. I know lots of smart people doing the dumbest of things with credit, school, food, health, and all the rest. They're not stupid. They just won't let the information in that can save them from themselves. It is an amazing thing how they weaponized us to do harm to ourselves with stuff we don't need. Side note, after reading Virus Mania, my wife and I would sit in the living room and look at each other and ask, are we understanding what we are reading? Then I read the book again. Then we watched Dr. Kaufman and Dr. Cowan for clarity, and a few others who have been on this case. It took weeks for the information to settle to a point where we could have a conversation amongst ourselves. It is just so far out from reality. It takes time to process, massage, and then evangelize to much criticism. It just takes time for some of this stuff to sink into reality. I don't think we would have been successful in pressing the red button without a high learning metabolism. I look back at us a decade ago. Our heads were empty, but we were busy working, paying for lots of stuff we didn't need. As we learned, the stuff became trivial. It went hand in hand. More learning, the less stuff we needed. It became synergistic. You wouldn't have one without the other. The more stuff we learn, the less stuff we need. The less stuff we need, the easier the red button was to push. We are busy learning and reinventing ourselves every day. It's a real cool feeling to have the whole family finally on board 100%. Thanks, Plan Scam Doc. Anyway, it's in the notes if you want to read it again. And it's that subscriber input. But I agree, the more you learn, the less stuff you need. Hi, Catherine and Joseph. Just a story from my part of the world. This is from Ireland. We all knew this one coming in, and most years it would just mean importing food and, more to the point, animal food from other countries. It's a story on just a terrible destruction of the harvest in Ireland. Really frightening. Without a straw, hay, and locally grown maize corn stalks, the cattle would be on GMO animal feed during the winter. That means buying from the U.S. to a much greater degree than they usually are. That's why Kerrygold in the U.S. being sued in the U.S. because the beef isn't always grass-fed in winter. I'm glad we buy our supplies from local farmers, both organic and just trying to do their best, which is a lot better than the ones who have to grow for industry. Anyway, you hear this. We get more and more reports of harvests being destroyed by crazy weather. And it's pretty scary because it's all part of the centralization of the food supply. And it's very much being engineered by the same people trying to do the toxins. Okay, that's it for this week. Next week, we have a great interview. Pete Kennedy interviews Elizabeth Rich in the trenches with the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. That's the war stories. Some of the amazing litigation they've done. And I'm telling you, without these kind of warriors, we're not going to have local farmers. So what they do is absolutely critical. And, you know, everywhere there's local farmers, there's a local Normandy beach that's got to be defended. September 24th, I'm going to be doing finally my response to that great question on why I'm an optimist. And then we dive into the third quarter wrap-up news, trends, and stories with Dr. Joseph Farrell. And I was just on the phone with him tonight discussing through the top 20 stories. And we got a lot of great stuff to talk about because I think, you know, you're busy. And my goal with News Trends and Stories is to give you a synthesis that if you only listen to that once a quarter, you'll know everything that's going on. And I think we're, you know, I just look so forward to doing this with Joseph each time. Okay, so until next week, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, then now would be a good time to start one. Yeah, and local, think food, think energy, think shelter, think local currency, think local private equity, you know, start a stock market for your neighborhood, for God's sakes. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.